Welcome, everyone, to the Happy Hustle Podcast. I'm your host, Kerry Jack, lifestyle entrepreneur, professional model slash actor, biohacker, and eco-warrior striving to make a positive impact on this planet. My goal is to inspire, educate, and entertain you while reminding you to enjoy the journey, not just the destination, as you happy hustle for a life of passion and purpose. I am so grateful and humbled to be spending some time together today. Now, let's dive in. What is up, you beautiful happy hustlers out there? Kerry Jack here, and I hope that you are having an amazing day. I'm in it, just enjoying this very moment right here and right now, baby. And in this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast, we have on Miss Hala Taha, who is the host of the Young and Profiting Podcast, frequently ranked as the number one education podcast across all apps. Hala is also the CEO of Yap Media, a full-service social media and podcast marketing agency for top podcasters, celebrities, and CEOs, generating over $2 million in revenue in its first year. She is well known for her engaged following and influence on LinkedIn, and she landed in January 2021 on the cover of Podcast Magazine. And you guys are going to love Hala's vibe. She's super smart, super savvy. She transitioned from her corporate career to this entrepreneur game, and she's crushing it, and she's happy hustling. And we talk all about how you can do the same. So buckle up. This is going to be an awesome episode, and highly recommend checking out her podcast as well. Now, after a quick episode sponsor break, we are going to be diving in with Hala. Real quick, guys, I just want to give a massive shout out to Magnesium Breakthrough, who is bringing to you the best magnesium in the game. Now, if you're not sleeping, you know, let's say 100%, maybe even less than, 50% even of deep REM sleep. I mean, not just like, okay, I went to bed and I woke up. I'm talking like deep, restful REM sleep. If you're not somewhere between, 80 and 100% of deep REM sleep in terms of really optimizing your time in the bed, well, this stuff can help. This is a game changer when it comes to just reducing those cortisol levels and those stress hormones and overall just improving your immune system and its functionality. If you guys want to get the hookup for Magnesium Breakthrough, you can go to magnesiumbreakthrough.com/hustle, save yourself some moolah. And the best part is it comes with a 365-day money-back guarantee. So you got nothing to lose and everything to gain. That's magnesiumbreakthrough.com/hustle. Now let's get back to this episode. All right, Hala Taha, welcome to the Happy Hustle Podcast, my friend. I am super excited to connect.
Super happy to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. You know, I was going through your bio and we have a ton of similarities and, you know, you're an entrepreneur, a podcaster. We both almost got MTV reality shows, which we talked about a little bit in the pre-chat. But I'm really excited to dive into just how you have grown your business and how you happy hustle a life that you love. But before we get into all that good stuff, Hala, what is something interesting about yourself that not too many people know?
I feel like a lot of my fans don't know that I'm a singer and that I've sang my whole life and that I actually wanted to be a singer growing up. And it wasn't until I was about 19 years old that I decided to be in radio and then, you know, pursue the podcasting path later on.
Interesting. What kind of singing? Like opera? We're talking pop, country?
Pop. It was like pop, R&B, a little bit of folk, to be honest. It was just a really cool vibe. I sing, I write my own music. So I did that for many years before I got into radio.
Very cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I sing in the shower. That's about it. I strum this guitar from time to time again. But that's, that's one of my goals is to get really good at playing acoustic guitar and singing around the campfire, because that's probably the extent of it. But that's super cool. Well, Hala, I want to dive in and kick things off with a bang. And let's talk about podcasting first and foremost, because you're known as the podcast princess, right? Mm-hmm. So let's hear a little bit about why you started the Young and Profiting Podcast and what was your greatest takeaway from the podcast thus far?
Yeah, sure. So I started the podcast in April of 2018. So that was about 4 years ago. It was actually a 4-year hiatus for me from being on the mic. So when I was in college, I took an internship at Hot 97. It's the number one hip hop and R&B station in the world. Mm. I was Angie Martinez's assistant. She had the biggest show in America at the time. I met every single celebrity. I would do commercials on air. I would run the boards for the radio station. I would do all the research and production and was super involved in that station for 3 years. I ended up leaving that station. I took a different path. I didn't get a job at Hot 97. I wanted to be the next Angie Martinez. I ended up actually getting fired for no good reason, basically asking to get paid because I was an unpaid intern for 3 years, which is how radio goes. You have to pay your dues. So yep. I always had online radio shows. I launched a website called thesororityofhiphop.com, strawberryblunt.com. That was really successful. I had probably 150 girls in and out of that organization. I would teach them how to blog. We hosted parties, concerts. We became one of the most popular hip hop entertainment sites in the world very quickly. And like you said, MTV scouted us for two shows, you know, first right away. And then again, you know, years later, and they had promised us this big show and we filmed all summer. We didn't get it. So I ended up being like, screw entertainment. I'm going into corporate. I'm going to get my MBA. I'm just going to be normal. I didn't get Hot 97. I didn't get MTV. I'm not cut out for this, I guess. And then 4 years into my corporate career, I kept getting promoted. I was getting very successful. I made my first six figures and I was leading big teams and the face of the young employees at Hewlett Packard. And that's where I first started working. My first job ever was there. And so then I basically was missing being on the mic. And I felt like I had all these different shows. I had all these experiences. I was running social media for Hewlett Packard and learned how to do social media. I knew how to blog. And I was like, I have all the skills to do this podcast thing, probably better than most people. So let me just do it. And so I just started it as a side hustle while working at HP. And my goal was to help people elevate their lives both professionally and financially. And that's why I came up with the Young and Profiting. I thought YAP was a really cool name. And I just ran with it. And I focused on LinkedIn in terms of promotion. And I just focused on creating killer content. And it really grew very fast. So I became like the top podcaster on LinkedIn very quickly. I leveraged that to really grow my podcast and kind of the rest is history.
Ah, super cool. Very inspiring to hear that you made that transition from corporate to this entrepreneur game. And, you know, I want to dive into that in a little bit, but we're going to table that topic for a second. And I want to extract what you believe is the biggest mistake you see podcasters make when starting a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the biggest mistake I would say is a mistake that I made, and that's to have a name that is not niched and not easily searched. I find that when you don't have a big social media presence or a big budget, the only way you can be a great podcaster is to own a niche and to be that first podcast that shows up when somebody types in the keyword investor or I'll give you a couple examples. So I have one friend, he's got a podcast called Millennial Investing. He has no following, but he's got such a great name for his podcast. People just are typing that and that podcast is popping up. There's another friend that I have. He's got a podcast called Self-Improvement Daily. And he's a top podcast because people are typing in self-improvement and finding his podcast, right? And he got in early before self-improvement podcasts were really, really saturated. So it's kind of like getting early in your niche and creating a title that's SEO friendly. I think that is a huge mistake people make. For me, I went branded Young and Profiting and I had to like spoon feed everyone for 2 years before I really took off.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it is definitely important picking the proper niche and the proper name. You know, now you got me thinking the Happy Hustle is quite vague and it really doesn't like fit a niche per se, but you know, we talk a lot about entrepreneurship.
At least you have hustle.
Yeah, exactly. We got hustle in there. And you know, that's the title of my book, my events, all the, you know, the other components in my business and brand. So it just seemed like a good name at the time, but, yeah, it really is important what you name your podcast in terms of, you know, those early episodes. I find People get discouraged when podcasting, you know, oh, I only got like, you know, a handful of listens or downloads or views on my show. What would you say to those early podcasters who maybe have decided to launch a show, and maybe any words of wisdom in terms of persevering through that adversity?
Yeah, I mean, podcasting is a long game. Podcasting is different from social media videos or YouTube videos where it has like the chance to go viral. Like, really, that's not really a possibility in the podcast world. You've got to grow that listenership and compound those listeners and hope that your listeners retain. And it's definitely the long game. So I would say that you should expect to grow steadily over 2 years before you really start to gain any sort of momentum, unless you've got budget for things like media buying. And unless you're doing really creative strategies on social audio or on social media to kind of drive people to your podcast, like there are ways to get there faster, but then you have to be creative. And there's also no guarantee that you're ever going to get there if you're not going to differentiate yourself and kind of be creative anyway. So I guess, like, I don't know if that was the most encouraging thing, but what I want to say is that it's a long game. You need consistency and you need creative strategies to grow.
Yeah, I would echo that. And when I started the Happy Hustle podcast in end of 2019, November, I committed to 200 episodes. And I said, if no one listens or if everyone listens, I'm going to do 200 episodes. And I think that is a really important component. You just commit to a goal and you do the work regardless of the result, because oftentimes, you know, we can compare and despair ourselves with others, other podcasters who launched and became number one in their category with the first 6 months. You know, it's like you have to commit to a goal. Everyone is on their own journey, and you just have to make sure that you put in the work and, you know, don't give up too, right? Like you said, 100%. It's a long game.
I love that advice of coming up with like a certain number you're going to do regardless of your downloads. I think that's really smart.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely, you know, it definitely worked for me. And now I'm on, I think, episode 222 at the time of this recording or something like that. And it's pretty awesome. You know, we're apparently, you know, up there in the top 0.5% globally based on downloads, and it just keeps growing. But it wasn't always this way. You know, it was a slow burn, very slow. Right. And so I just want to give all the happy hustlers out there listening a little, you know, a little encouragement. And, you know, here you have Holla and myself, like it takes time. Anything worth doing takes time. You got to put in the work and do the reps. And it's interesting to just hear your journey as well. Now, Holla, I do want to get into your business, and I love talking entrepreneurship. I mean, it's a really important piece to happy hustling. In my opinion, you know, there's something really powerful about entrepreneurship because it oftentimes provides the three freedoms: financial freedom, creative freedom, and time freedom, right? And those are three things that are very important to me, you know, those different types of freedom. And I'm curious to hear your entrepreneur, like, actual journey, you know, because I know you left corporate, you were working with Disney and HP and these massive corporations. What was that transition like? What would you recommend or maybe advise other happy hustlers out there who maybe have a corporate job and want to make a similar transition into entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I love this question. So my path happened really organically. And so basically what happened is I launched this podcast, and like we just talked about, it was slow and steady, and I just worked on it morning, night, weekend, super consistent, did interviews during lunch. And by episode 2, I recruited my first team member. He's actually my business partner now. Nice. By episode 8, I had 10 interns in a Slack channel. So I grew my team fairly fast. And that's one of my like secret weapons, is that I can grow communities and basically volunteer groups. Because I've grown different organizations, like that sorority of hip hop, for example, was basically volunteers. So I was very used to like getting interns and training people and building teams. So it happened very naturally. I kept getting really big people on my show. And at the end of the conversation, they would always say the same thing to me. They'd say, Hala, who does your LinkedIn videos? Like, what service do you use? And I'd be like, oh, it's just like me and my team. Like, we just do it. Like, I've got these interns. And everybody would always ask me these questions. And then sometimes people would say, could you help me with a podcast? Like, your podcast got so popular. How'd you do this? And so finally, I was like, okay, like, let me give this a shot. It was actually COVID. At the time, my dad had COVID and was in the hospital, and that was really impactful for me. My dad ended up passing away, and I was thinking, like,
sorry.
Yeah, it just happened to be that while he was in the hospital, I got this opportunity to do Heather Monahan. She's this huge LinkedIn influencer, to start doing her social media. And so I just started with her videos, right? And then, you know, we figured that out, and I got my next client. And we took over all his social and podcast, and it was like a 30K monthly retainer. Like, it was a huge deal that we got, like, second deal. And that was just all from the social proof and from the, like, it was basically, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. The reason why my second client was so huge is because I spent 2 years building my brand. And by the time I was ready to actually sell something, I had everyone's trust in my hand, right? So people just were very drawn to what I had, and the demand was there. So I just turned it on, right? So I started, you know, I got that big client. I started paying with my team, started scaling my team. Now, a year and a half later, we're 70 people around the world, and we manage social and podcasts for people like Kara Golden, the CEO of Hintwater, Britt Marin, the CEO of Britt & Co., the CEO of 1-800-GOT-JUNK, Jason Waller of 200 Dogs. So we've got all these big authors, podcasters, CEOs, where we're doing their social media and podcast, but it happened organically like that. And in terms of your question of, like, leaving my corporate job, so I started this during the pandemic. So it was like 2 months into the pandemic. And the reason why I was able to actually start my business is because I didn't have a commute anymore. So I always had a side hustle, which was my podcast, which was my brand. Essentially, the podcast is my personal brand, right? That's how I kind of think about it. And so I was growing my personal brand for 2 years. Once that was really established, I decided to create a business, and that actually I started to monetize. The whole 2 years before that was investing my time, investing my money to grow this brand that I then was able to monetize through lead generation of my podcast. The lead generation came from my guests that came on the show. Podcasters can monetize in many ways. It can be their guests themselves that they sell services to. It can be their audience that they sell service to. And it can be brands who want to sell services to their audience, right? So those are the three main ways that you can monetize your show. My first way that I monetized was through my guests. And that worked really well for me because it was all high ticket, very wealthy people who would come on my show. And they were very interested in the services that I had to offer. Long story short, I started my company, and then over 6 months, I kept building it. By the time I left Disney, I had 35 people all around the world who worked for me, and like 3 full-time U.S. employees already. And then once I had U.S. full-time employees, I was like, it's pretty ridiculous that I still have a job at Disney. I should probably give it my 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, one thing I just want to extract from your journey is the slow and steady side hustle approach. And I know Tony Robbins talks about, you know, burn the boats and take the island. And I personally disagree with that mentality. I like more of the approach that you took, where you have a career, you have that security, and you're building on the side in your off hours. The reason I like that approach is because then it becomes an organic product or service, eliminating the desperation that often is dictated when you quit cold turkey, right?
Yeah.
And I think when you have that side hustle and you're building it over time, and then you have security in some capacity where you will reach a tipping point when your side hustle ultimately, you know, makes the same amount as your salary, and then you can quit, you know, with confidence or a little bit less than your salary, right? And I just think that's a better approach for longevity, for sustainability, and just for best results. What would you say in terms of that?
I totally agree. And I also think that me working at corporate gave me a different set of skills to then be even a better entrepreneur when I became an entrepreneur. So like, I was an entrepreneur before corporate, And I was an entrepreneur after corporate, and I was like 100 times more successful after my corporate experience because I knew how to do sales decks. I knew how to talk professionally. I knew what kind of project management tools that all these big businesses use. I knew how to do scrum meetings and just learned all this different stuff. Even like I worked at Disney Streaming Services. So I learned like all about subscriber acquisition and how to retain users. And then I applied that to podcasting and came to podcasting with a totally different mindset, the way that people think of, you know, TV streamers, right? And so I think that all your experiences really do help. And so getting that corporate experience for me was super helpful, I think, in becoming the best entrepreneur that I could be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I personally have zero experience in the corporate realm. I've always been an entrepreneur, quote unquote, or a freelancer of that, you know, like I've bartended, I've promo modeled, I've done all sorts of things, construction in exchange for money, you know, but in this freelancer approach where, you know, I basically would eat what I hunted, you know, whatever I went out there and got, that's what I ate. I think the corporate world definitely prepares you in many regards with those skills and the acquisition of those skills to then be applied elsewhere. Now, I want to double back to something you said, which was growing teams and essentially using free labor, interns, right? I have worked with college students from the University of Florida for a couple of my previous businesses. And, you know, we've leveraged the internship model and gave them awesome experience. And we got awesome motivated talent in return. And I really think that is an underutilized component of growing a business where you can give experience and in return get free labor. Talk to us a little bit about that process when you are, you know, utilizing interns and some of the best practices regarding so.
Yeah. So when I first started using interns, like I'll be transparent, like we were just like scrappy. I wasn't making any money, so nobody was making any money. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's like when it was just a podcast, it was just like, join us. We'll like teach you how to do stuff and just join the Slack. You know, it was very like not how it is today. Now it's formal. We pay our interns a stipend. They get formal onboarding training templates. They get like a onboarding buddy and you know, it's way more formal. But, you know, if you're just starting out a side hustle, what I'll say is that if you can teach somebody something that they would have to pay money for a course to learn and that they can further monetize later on, then you have a right to have interns, meaning like interns may want to work for you and you can provide value to them. The key is that you actually have to teach them something. Mm-hmm. And once they actually learn what you're trying to teach them, you know, you want to teach them something new so that they keep learning, or you want to pay them for what they've learned to do. So it's like basically this kind of rotation game. It's like you teach them something. Once they kind of get it down, you either pay them, you start paying them part time, or you teach them something else that they kind of work on and help until they get it down. You never want to just take advantage of people. So it's like then there's like a bad culture. Like we've got such a great culture because we usually hire all our interns. So typically now it's like a 3-month internship. If they do well and they're still in school, they get hired part time. If they graduate, they usually get hired full time. If not, we help give them recommendations and they've got skills that they can take on forever. So it's a win-win for everyone. And it really is such a great way to get talent. And I find my best talent are people that I've trained and then hire full time. It's my favorite way to hire people.
Yeah, such a great point. And, you know, you mentioned just making sure it's a win-win. Like you're giving them experience, providing them skills and new learning lessons and real life application. And in return, you are getting like top tier talent and you're getting work ethic and like oftentimes these, you know, younger college aged interns are very driven. And yeah, I think it's just a really great topic. And I hope all the happy hustlers are, you know, seeing how they could potentially apply a win-win partnership like an intern or multiple interns, plural, into your business to help grow and scale. That's a really great point.
Yeah. And actually went on, I was just going to say, I went on Donald Miller's podcast, Business Made Simple. And we talked just about interns on one of the episodes that I was on. So
awesome.
If anybody wants to listen to that episode, we talked just about internship programs and what we do at Yap Media.
Yeah, that's a. I mean, I have his book, and my good friend Rory Vaden's like best friends with Donald, so I,
Oh, nice.
know him loosely, but yeah, that's awesome. Check out that podcast episode if you want to dive deeper into this. Just in terms of creating a winning offer, this is something I want to touch on because you seem to have created a winning offer, and there's something to be said about making your offer so good people feel stupid saying no, right? It's just like that's business is solving people's problems at a profit, right? Like my buddy Wade T. Lightheart says, and you want to create a winning offer that solves people's problems. Talk to us a little bit about your offer creation and that process and now what it is today.
Yeah, 100%. So basically, the way that I sell my services is I use myself as a test dummy. So my clients are very similar to me in that they're a social media influencer, or they want social media influence and they want a big podcast. And then now we started a network and they want to monetize their podcast, right? So those are the three things that I do: social media, podcast production and content, podcast monetization. Those are my three big umbrella bucket offerings. And in terms of what I decide to sell, it's whatever I know I can do really well that I do for myself. And then I replicate that product and I sell it to my clients. So I use myself as a test bed, figure it all out, and then I sell it to my clients. Now, in terms of knowing what to sell, I always look at like what's the capability that I have the highest margin in, because I could sell everything having to do with digital, but I don't want to, right? And so I only sell things that are bundled together. Like I'll do like one channel, for example, but it will be a higher price because it's just one channel. But if I take over all your channels, I'm able to kind of bundle that pricing and make it more manageable because we're taking over a bigger project and I'm able to kind of increase the margin overall. Whereas just one channel is very hard to like make margin on. So basically, what I'm trying to say is that you need to understand your margins and understand how much it costs to execute every service, and then price it accordingly. And then you've got to see if that price has stickiness and if people are willing to pay that price. And you have to go over the, you have to go after the clientele that can actually afford the price that you want. There's plenty of social media agencies that offer cheap services. We're not that. So if anybody wants cheap social media services, we're not that. We're white glove, premier social media for people who have no time, who want the highest quality, best performance, right? So it's knowing what you offer, knowing who you offer to and who you don't, and then knowing your margins, I think are key points.
Yeah, love that. The margins specifically, I think, is something that people they get wrong. You know, they don't know their numbers, and then they end up, you know, selling, let's say, high ticket coaching, for example, or consulting even, and they don't know, like, really the cost of their time, and they end up working for minimum wage oftentimes, or, you know, something like that, where they just you have to know your margins. Really great takeaway there. Now, I do want to pivot into LinkedIn because you mentioned how you really grew a following on LinkedIn, and you know I think LinkedIn still has a ton of opportunities
Oh,
out
yeah.
there. And I would say out of all the platforms, probably LinkedIn is still ripe for picking in terms of like staking your claim and actually, you know, making noise and growing awareness on any of the platforms. Talk to us a little bit about your LinkedIn growth and some of the best practices regarding LinkedIn.
Yeah, sure. So just like any other social media channel, consistency is key. You've got to make sure that you're willing to post every single day. I would say at least 4 times a week, if not every single day. That's number one. Number two is that you want to make sure that you also engage the community. So it's not enough to just post and think that people are going to engage. You need to proactively find people who may be interested in your content. So a great way that you can do this is to actually do a little project for yourself where you go look at your lookalike profiles, meaning who would you love, whose audience would you love to have, right? And you do this little activity where you come up with your competitors or your lookalike profiles, and you start to look at who's actually engaging on their content. So one of the things that you can do is comment every day on those lookalike profiles just to start being active in the community that you want to be active in. The other thing you can do is if you don't want people, especially if you don't want that competitor to know that you're like looking at their profile, you can just invite their active connections to connect with you. So anybody who's liking and commenting on their posts, send them an invite and say, hey, I noticed you liked Gary Vee's content. If you like his stuff, you're going to love mine. I'm so happy to connect. Let's get in each other's networks. You know, it's just some nice message. I noticed you engage with XYZ. I talk about this stuff too. Let's connect. I grew my following to 10,000 people on LinkedIn in like 2 months using the strategy targeting Gary Vee. That's how I first started to pop off on LinkedIn. Then I'd comment on his post and I'd get 100 likes because 10,000 of his followers followed me. And then people started to be like, well, who's this holla girl getting 100 likes on all of Gary Vee's posts? Like, let's check her out. And then the other thing that it does is when you invite and DM people on LinkedIn, you're actually signaling to LinkedIn that you guys are friends. So LinkedIn will start to push your content to them because they're seeing that you guys are DMing. So it has like all these different effects that I didn't realize at the time that was happening, which is why. And then the other thing is when you're inviting people who are active on LinkedIn, you're increasing your engagement rate. So a lot of people have dead connections on LinkedIn. You know, you started it 10 years ago when you started working or you were looking for a job and you just accepted people randomly and those people don't go on there anymore and they're dead connections. Those are the worst kind of connections to have. So one of the things that you could do is get LinkedIn Navigator and then you can see who your inactive connections are. You can remove them and then start to target active connections with the strategy I just talked about. That really helps our clients go viral and that's the type of stuff that we do at Yap Media. In terms of the content approach on LinkedIn, chunky paragraphs don't work. So people hate to read, especially on mobile format. So that line by line style, it's called broetry. That's very popular on LinkedIn.
Broetry.
And then there's also other hacks. For example, and this goes for a lot of social media platforms, usually external links. If you put them in the caption, your posts will get deprioritized. So most of these social channels, they want to keep you on LinkedIn. So if you're pointing to YouTube, they're going to push down the post because they don't want their users going to YouTube. And especially if it's another social media site, they'll definitely push your stuff down. So you want to be careful of that. And you want to put any sort of link in the comments when it comes to LinkedIn specifically. Some other tips are like, don't tag somebody who's not going to comment and like on your post because LinkedIn will think that's spam. And there's all these little hacks that you can start to learn. So those are just some tips for LinkedIn.
Yeah, I mean, those were awesome. I really like that you gave us some tactical like things to apply right away. The LinkedIn Navigator is a really great tool. Commenting, DMing, lookalike audiences, like people who you wish to get in front of. And you know, being active in those communities. You mentioned putting the actual links, those external links in the comments. Really great point there. And using broetry. I've never heard that term, but I like it. Broetry. Really great tactics there. Now, Hala, I do want to ask you about balance. I'll tell you straight up, I burn out as an entrepreneur. You know, I was working 100 plus hour weeks and I was getting like 5 hours of sleep and I just burn out. I had to fold my tech startup in New York City and I moved to Bangkok, Thailand for 10 months. And, you know, I figured out a better way to work and live. The happy hustlers know my story, but that's where the happy hustle was born, you know, where I really just focused on lifestyle entrepreneurship and just putting the happy in my everyday hustle. And, you know, I'm curious for someone like you who's got a lot going on, you know, podcasting, your business, you know, personal life, et cetera. What does quote unquote work-life balance look like for you?
Well, I have to be honest that I'm not doing that great of a job right now. I'm running, I mean, my company is just a year and a half old. We're 70 people around the world. I have big clients and I just launched a podcast network. So not only do I have an agency and a social media agency and lots of clients, I just started recruiting new podcasts to help them monetize, which maybe we should have a conversation after this show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just really fun. And honestly, like you mentioned some pillars earlier in the show, and I had to say, I really resonated with creative freedom because I feel so much passion with what I do. And I'm so excited about this podcast network that putting in the extra hours and not necessarily having the same balance I might have had 3 months ago, I don't care because I'm enjoying it so much and I've got the creative freedom to be a pioneer in this industry and I love it and I don't feel burnt out at all. But in terms of not feeling burnout, there's a couple things that I do. I work out a lot. So it's like I work out 4 times a week. I'm super consistent with it. I love it. It's my release. Another thing is that my team are like my best friends. My executive team is actually my very close best friends. And so work is fun. Like work is light, like especially internally, like maybe the client, like, you know, there's conflict once in a while, but like in terms of internal, it's all just happy, fun, light. And that's the best way I think it should be when you're trying to build a company, building with people that you love and having great relationships and knowing how to communicate. So I feel like the fact that I've got such a great team keeps me balanced because it's like, it's not just all on my shoulders. I've got an amazing team. And then also the fact that I have places to release my stress. And I do take time for myself. If I want to go, you know, get my nails done, get my eyelashes done, whatever I want, I do things for myself. I do practice mm-hmm. self-care and prioritize that stuff and block it out in my schedule and make sure that I have time for the things that I feel like doing. But other than that, I know it's grind time. So it's like, I also know things can be temporary. I used to work 16, 18 hour days when I was working at Disney and having my company. I don't think anything is harder than that. And so for me, It's just like, well, I had 3 jobs before. This is just like 2 or whatever. So I'm fine.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I'm going to send you for sure my book and my fridge magnet because we're going to get you balanced.
I'm sure I need it.
Well, we all do. And here's the thing. This is a system that is something that I've just used to scratch my own itch because I was in your shoes in many regards. However, you seem to be taking care of yourself better than I was for sure. But one thing I'll just tell you is, you know, this balance, this work-life balance, quote unquote, which I don't even personally think is a very accurate term. I think it would be more like work play balance, if anything, you know, because, you know, you don't say appetizer dinner, you know, balance, you would say appetizer main course balance, right? Because work is a part of life. However, I will tell you this, when you actually prioritize each of these different components of our life with the same importance as you do work, then you start to actually feel extremely balanced and fulfilled. And that was a big takeaway for me because, you know, balance isn't this finite destination, right? It's a never-ending journey. It takes constant tweaks, adjustments, pivots. And, you know, for me with the framework and, you know, the happy hustlers out there, if it's your first time listening, welcome. If you don't know about the soul mapping framework, it's this acronym and it makes up these 10 areas. And I want to run through it with you first, Hala, just for 1 second, then we can dive in a little deeper. But the S stands for selfless service, because I think a lot of people, especially entrepreneurs, we focus very much on profit, success, titles, you know, fame, fortune, et cetera. And we forget about helping others, right? Yep. And you know, the secret to living is giving many times. And that's a quote I love by Tony. And selfless service is the first of the 10 alignments. So I look at where I rank in each of these 10 alignments every single week on Sundays. And then I prioritize change accordingly based on where I was lacking. The next alignment is called optimize health. Oh, you know, optimized health. This is, like you said, working out. You have this one in check. You're crushing it. You're working out. You're taking care of yourself. It's so important if you're going to happy hustle in any regard to make sure that you are optimized. U stands for unplugged digitally. And I would be curious to see where you rank yourself in this one because
probably
I rank myself
like 0.
Yeah. Yeah. So 5 is like you're crushing it. You got an A. 1 is like, you know, an F. You're failing. So, you know, I'm not going to put you on the spot and make you, you know, measure yourself now, but I'm going to send you this stuff so you can do it on your own. And then, you know, here to support you any way I can through this transition. However, you unplug digitally, making sure that you have, you know, your devices in check and you have barriers that support your disconnection. L, loving relationships, you know, really connecting with others is what life's all about. Having love both in your personal life and your professional life, like with your team, but really making sure that you have love and plentiful pleasure as well. So that's the soul part. Any questions on that first the first four?
No, it's great. Yeah, these are great little pillars to align to. I love it.
Yeah, listen, it's not rocket science. I totally get that, you know, but for me, it was just figuring it out, putting it together in a way that worked. And then other happy hustlers kept coming up. Carrie, how are you, you know, achieving this work-life balance, quote unquote? I just started to share it. So that's where it kind of manifested from. The MAPIN part stands for M, mindful spirituality. You know, are you tapping into a higher power? Are you connected to something bigger than yourself? Praying, meditating, practicing gratitude. A stands for abundance financially, right? Are you, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, or are you, you know, able to do what you want with who you want, when you want? Get your nails did, get your hair did, right? Girl, you know, it's important to have that abundance, but not the most important, right? That's an important component. Like everyone thinks that's it. Okay, once you get that, then you're happy, but it's not true. The first P is personal development, making sure that you're growing and evolving every single day, or else you're shrinking and dissolving. You know, listening, reading, hearing podcasts like Young and Profiting and The Happy Hustle. Second P, we got, this is one that I definitely think most entrepreneurs are lacking, and that's passionate hobbies, right? You're just, we're not doing enough fun things for ourselves. You know, like, it's so important that you fill your cup before you give from your overflow. And oftentimes people disregard, you know, their own things that bring that childlike wonder, you know?
It's so true.
What's a hobby that you like?
I love to, so it's related to working out, and that's I got into bounce trampoline. So like
I got
doing
one right
trampoline
here.
Workouts. Yep. I love it. It's so much fun. So I guess that's my new hobby because I really love it and it's like just really fun. But my problem is I always end up monetizing everything that I love and then it like turns into not a hobby.
Yeah.
Like the podcast and social media basically turned into my business. So got to proactively beware of that.
Yes, you do. Hala, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to burst your bubble with your trampoline, but I'm not going to count that as a hobby. All right. That's in the working out category. We want to get you doing something that is completely fun. Like it lights you up with just like, and you may even have to pay for it. I'll tell you, I painted these little splatter paints behind me. Art is such a great hobby. You know, picking up, playing sports is the hobby. Okay, you can do
maybe
your
I'll get back
we'll
to singing. Everybody tells
singing.
Me I got to go back to singing, and I think that will be my new hobby.
It's so important. I tell you what, you know, when I'm training, I'm earning towards my black belt with my fiance Steph, and you know that's a fun hobby for me to get in there and practice karate. You know, I go fly fishing all the time and horseback riding and, you know, snowboarding, except I just
wait a second.
Myself.
Why do you get to count sports as hobbies and I don't?
Well, no, sports you do. But I'm saying the trampoline workout, you said it's a workout, right?
I mean, I guess it's not a sport, but it's like a dancey, like kind of like cardio kickboxing type of a thing on trampoline.
Okay, I miss it. I misunderstood. So
it's more like doing dances on a trampoline.
Okay. I thought it was a workout, and you were like, "I have fun doing this workout."
No, it's like a little dance. It's like learning dance routines on a trampoline, basically.
Okay,
I think counts as a hobby.
It counts. So anyway, all the happy hustlers out there, my intention wasn't to run through this whole framework, but I'm gonna finish it up. Now, just because I think it's relevant. Then you got the I, which is impactful work, you know, making sure that you're doing something you love and, you know, making a positive impact in the process, like Young and Profiting and her media company, like Hala's doing. And then you have nature connection, which is actually getting outdoors, connecting with nature, tapping into, you know, your primal state and self. And I actually take entrepreneurs into the wilderness for 5 days and we do a whole business mastermind completely disconnected. But it's also not just, you know, getting outside, but it's protecting nature and focusing on, you know, supporting B corporations and companies with sustainable supply chains. So those are the 10 alignments, Hala. I'm going to send you my book and all this so you can dive in, because
awesome.
I want to get you blissfully balanced. But I just thought it was important for all the happy hustlers out there, you know, to think about these 10 different alignments and these 10, you know, areas of your life. And the real principle to happy hustling, in my opinion, and you know, take it for what it is you must focus on each of these 10 alignments with equal importance, but one at a time, right? You give equal importance to each of those 10 different areas. Like that means this podcast with Hala, we're focused, we're rocking the mic. When we get off and I have a date night. You know, Valentine's Day was last night at the time of this recording. You know, I was all there. I was focused. We went to a concert. You know, it was fun. I wasn't working or thinking about podcasting or anything. You know, when I'm at my workout, I'm focused. So it's like giving 100% of your focus and energy and importance to the task at hand. That was a rant, but hopefully that some of that resonates.
Yeah, 100%. I loved everything you said. I mean, I think you're totally right. You do need balance. It's a good checklist that you ran off. So thanks for sharing it.
Yeah. So Hala, I do want to just ask you a couple of these traditional happy hustle hack questions. But before I do, where can people go to find out more about you, and where can people go to listen to your podcast?
Yeah, so I would love if everybody went and checked out Young and Profiting. We are number one self-improvement podcast across all apps. So on CastBox, we have almost 200,000 subscribers just on that app alone now, which is like so exciting. I hit over 2 million downloads on CastBox the other day, which was cool. And in terms of where you can find me, I'm on every podcast player. Just search Young and Profiting. You'll find me. Google Young and Profiting, youngandprofiting.com. It's Yap Media is my agency if you guys are interested in that. But I would highly encourage you go check out the podcast. I've interviewed like Matthew McConaughey, Seth Godin, Robert Greene, some really great players. We talk about how to gain influence, the art of entrepreneurship, side hustles, investing, you name it. If you want to be profiting professionally, financially, that is your place to be.
Love that. Young am profiting, y'all. Mm-hmm. Now, Hala, let's dive into the happy hustle hacks. And this is basically, you know, a tip, a tool, a tactic that you can share in regards to one of these different disciplines. First being health. We talked about how health's a big component in, you know, in your release and just being, you know, the entrepreneur that you are. You got to have optimized health. What is a happy hustle hack in this, you know, regard that you can share, something that you do maybe that is a little unique?
Yeah. So I would say that when I first started as an entrepreneur, I was getting very little sleep. And I think that was a big, big mistake. Sleep is like your secret weapon. If you can get 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night, you should do it. And you should try everything in your power to have a night routine, a sleep routine, to optimize your sleep in any way that you can. There's sleep tech now. There's so many different ways that you can kind of hack your sleep. And that will really get you to the next level, because I found that working those extra hours at night actually made me less productive the next day. If you can just get some good sleep, you'll be optimizing all your time and you'll be in a better mood. Your health will be better. Everything will be better if you get more sleep. Literally, sleep is like one of those things that like everything will be better if you get more sleep. So that would be my hack.
Yeah. Amen to that. And funny enough, this episode's sponsor is actually Magnesium Breakthrough. I don't know if you've ever tried this stuff, but this stuff is one of my go-to sleep remedies, because most people don't realize, but 75% of all individuals are deficient in magnesium, and magnesium actually is one of the core components of poor sleep. If you don't have it, there's a chance, you know, if you're not sleeping well, that you're deficient in magnesium. So that's a really great point, though. Focus on sleep. Let's talk about money. I think money is a really important topic. You know, like, I'm sure you've had some, I'm sure you lost some, I'm sure you've had more, I'm sure you lost more. You know, it's a game, you know, it's an energy, it's a tool. What is a happy hustle hack in regards to money? Something that maybe you do to help save or invest or spend wisely that you can share with the happy hustlers?
I think you should definitely invest in yourself. A lot of people talk about investing in stocks, investing in crypto, NFTs. It's important to keep tabs on that, and you definitely should invest some of your money. But don't forget to invest in yourself. So that means take that course that you should take to learn and up-level your skills. Having skills can make you so much money. And if you're lacking skills in a certain department that you need, go invest in yourself and get those skills. And the way that I invest in myself is I invest in my company. You know, for years I invested in my podcast and I believed in myself. So it's like invest in yourself and believe in yourself, because now I'm making all that money back, like, you know, hand over fist that I invested 2-3 years ago, you know? So it's just, it's a great strategy to invest in yourself, not only other companies.
Such a great point. Invest in yourself, fam. Really important. Now, last happy hustle hack question in regards to spirituality. You know, I don't necessarily care if the happy hustlers believe in one God or another. I just think it's important to have faith, you know, in something bigger than yourself. Do you have a happy hustle hack in regards to spirituality that you can share?
Ooh, this one's tough. I feel like if there's anything that I need to do is improve my spirituality. I grew up Muslim and I don't really identify with that. And so I'm not really that spiritual. But in terms of being grateful, one of the things, I do two things. First thing is that when I wake up, I don't just wake up and get out of bed. I stay in my bed and I think about what are the three things I'm most grateful for today, and just kind of sets my day off on the right foot. I really try never to just get out of bed. I force myself to lay there and just think of three things I'm grateful for before I get out of bed. That makes me feel like happy throughout the day. I'm not grumpy or anything when I first wake up, because like you're setting yourself out on the right mood. And the last thing is, like, before you go to bed, actually enjoy the fact that you're laying in bed and do something similar. Like, I just try to think happy, relaxing thoughts. I purposely say, like, if there's anything negative going on in my head, I just go back to like the three things I'm grateful for that day and then go to sleep. So it just kind of helps you fall asleep without like having your mind be working on everything that's not healthy, and also wake up and feel productive and like in the right mindset in the day. So that's like the little trick that I do, is like in my bed, I force myself before I get up or go to sleep to be grateful.
Yeah. I love gratitude. I mean, I think gratitude has a way to just get you out of your head into your heart. And, you know, I journal 5 to 10 things I'm grateful for every single morning. I go through my I am affirmations, and, you know, twice a day, actually. And it's just a really important part to just be grateful. And even if you are having a rough day, find something you can be grateful for. You know, if you have 10 toes right now, you can find gratitude. You know, some people don't, right? Yeah. So it's just those little things. I really like that you mentioned that. Now, Hala, I do want to put you through the rapid fire round questions, and then we will wrap this interview up.
Okay.
This is basically where I just ask you random things and you answer honestly first things that come to mind. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. Favorite food? Go.
Lasagna.
Oh, nice. Favorite movie?
10 Things I Hate About You.
Nice. Favorite book?
The Like Switch by Dr. Jack Schaefer.
Favorite workout?
Trampoline bounce workouts.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna go there. What's your spirit animal?
A lion.
Best business advice?
Don't let the gatekeepers tell you no. Create your own path.
Three things you're most grateful for?
I am most grateful for the health of my family, the growth of my business, and the experiences that I've had.
And if you had a billboard for the world to see with your last piece of content on it, what's that billboard read?
How you do anything is how you do everything.
Woo! Crush that rapid fire round, Hala.
Thank
this was
you.
Really fun. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge you. Thank you for sharing your love and your light and your wisdom with myself and the happy hustlers. You just radiate good vibes, Hala. And, you know, I've just really it's inspiring to see and witness and hear your story and that transition and where you're at now and where you're headed and the work ethic that surrounds it, and who you're lifting up in the process. It just kudos to you, and keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks. Likewise, congratulations on the growth of your show and your audience, and you're crushing it as well. This was a fantastic interview, and maybe we can replay it on my podcast. So thank you.
Woo-woo. So any final words before I ask you the last question, Hala? Anything you want to say to the happy hustlers out there? And then go ahead and mention where's the best place to find you online and maybe the podcast one more time.
Yeah, sure. So you guys can find me at youngandprofiting.com. I'm on all the major podcast players. Just search for Young and Profiting. And it's a great show. So I hope you guys check it out. And I'll turn it over to you. I don't have any other questions.
Okay. Well, then the last question that I have for you, Hala, is what does happy hustling mean to you?
Happy hustling is being in alignment with what I love doing and getting paid for it.
Mic drop. Hala Taha, y'all. Thanks for watching and listening. We are out. Peace and love. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast. I truly am so grateful that you took the time out of your busy day to spend time with me. Now, if you got any value from this episode or any episodes in the past, it would mean the world to me if you could please leave a 5-star review and share this episode with your friends so we can continue to spread this message. Guys, as always, it's been a blast. Now go out there and happy hustle for your dream reality.